Let's continue our look at the last full-on kangaroo tour of the UK and France, which was 30 years ago in 1994. Over the last few weeks, I've spoken with Andrew Ettingshausen, Tim Brasher, Steve Renoff, and the Pearl was awesome to catch up with last Sunday, and we spoke in awe of his try-scoring feats. He has nothing on today's guest. This gentleman played 424 top-flight games and scored 446 tries between 1987 and 2001. I'm talking about club footy. He played for Widnes, Wigan, the London Broncos and Salford in the UK. While in Australia, he played 13 games for Eastern Suburbs and 14 games for St George. He also scored 34 tries for England or Great Britain in 38 Test matches. He toured Australia with Great Britain in 1988 and 1992. By the way, he ended his professional career too with 22 rugby union games for the Bedford Blues and London Wasps, I believe, while also playing rugby league, and he can throw in another 13 tries in that code. Not bad for a player who was once described by a board member at St Helens when then-coach Alex Murphy wanted the club to sign him as a youngster as a, quote, uncoordinated clown. What the? Look, I could go on and on and on. In his first year with Widnes, he scored 42 tries, a club record. He won the Man of Steel that year. Certainly a sign of things to come. And when he came to Sydney for Eastern Suburbs in 1989, he scored a try on debut against Wests. When he played for the Dragons in 91, he scored a hat-trick against his former club, the Roosters. By the way, his teenage son is playing under-18 Six Nations rugby for England at the moment as well. Australian fans love Chariots. He was a great player and also a great entertainer, probably in equal parts. Martin Offier, great to speak with you. How are you?
I'm doing good. You also forgot about the four tries I scored against the Broncos in the final of position seven at the Sydney Football Stadium in 92. That's probably one of my fondest memories.
Really? Okay, yeah. Well, mate, if I went through everything in your career, we'd be here for 2.5 hours just going through the intro. That's quite a career. Can we go back to the start? How were you picked up by Widnes and Doug Lawton?
Well, I was playing rugby union. I think I went out to play in a competition called the Hong Kong Sevens. Ended up playing against the All Blacks in the semi-final. They had people like Fanabodica was in that team. Mark Brooke Cowden, Zinzan Brooke. And, Widnes coach just saw me on TV.
Tell us about that first season for Widnes. That was an amazing start to your career, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I didn't know anything about rugby league. The first rugby league game I saw live, I was actually playing it. I played against Halifax. I didn't score for the first two games. I think my second game was against Bradford. And then in the third game, we were playing in the Lancashire Cup against a team which is not there anymore called Runcorn. And Doug Lawton, who was the coach of Widnes, Doug Lawton played out in Sydney, I think, back in the 70s, I think he toured out there with Great Britain, and I think he might have played for Canterbury back in the day. But Doug Lawton, he came up to me before the game, gave me a little tap and said, Martin, I can't buy a try-scoring winger that doesn't score any tries. No pressure. But I went on to score in 15 consecutive games, and that's when the whole Chariots of Fire thing was born, and I saw Chariots of Fire here, there and everywhere in newspapers. And, I went on to make my Great Britain debut, and then toured with Great Britain, you know, when we came over for the 88 Kangaroo Tour.
Yeah. And as we were to see you playing club footy out here, I take it you enjoyed the experience playing out here.
Yeah, I loved it. We used to have these videos which used to come over with all the NRL games and look at these games in Australia. I thought, I need to get myself out there. I just love the commentators. And I think it was Darren Eastwake, he said, he called me a freak, and I thought, that's the highlight of my career.
Isn't that cool?
News, actually. I think it might be great news. All the way from Widnes, he's a freak. And I thought, yeah, I've made it.
But you, like I said, you're equal parts great player and entertainer. So I'd imagine that nickname, Chariots of Fire, you actually embraced it and enjoyed it. Is that something you enjoyed throughout your career?
Yeah, when I was on the pitch, you know, I had sort of two personas, you know, I didn't sort of really buy into it when I was off the pitch. Mm. It's only really after I retired that, you know, I really sort of respond to people who call me Chariots in real life. But yeah, you know, that was my persona on the pitch. I enjoyed myself, you know, I enjoyed celebrating. That was my way of kicking back to all the negativity. Obviously, I took a lot of punishment, you know, whether that was racial abuse, whether that was physical abuse or whatever. But I was always positive. My way of responding was to score tries. You know, I love scoring tries. I love the way that it made the fans who supported the teams I was playing with, Phil, and I loved the way I could affect people who didn't like me, who were the opposition fans. So you had a lot of power in your hands if you could score tries and you could really help dictate victories.
Were you pleasantly surprised how quickly you were embraced by Australian fans out here?
Well, the Australian press didn't take to me too well when I first went over in '88. Copped a lot of flak. You know, they kept saying, can't tackle, I'm running sideways. And then, you know, when I came back, played out there a couple of times, and then obviously Lions tour as well, when we had that fantastic win down in Melbourne, where I managed to actually get outside ET, even though it was a forward pass off Gary Schofield, but I still managed to score that night. So yeah, I've got some fond memories of playing in Sydney, obviously playing for East, and I just think it was my, as you say, I did see myself as an entertainer. You know, it was great playing with Ricky Walford that year in 91. I think I scored a phenomenal amount of tries, I think, in my first eight games. And so, yeah, you know, I've had some highs and lows. Obviously, losing that race against Leota Ryan was a bit of a low for me at Parramatta Stadium in 92.
You slipped, though, didn't you, at the start?
Yeah, but he cheated. It turns out he did a podcast with somebody recently, which I saw, where he said that him and his coach, you know, basically colluded. And you can see, I think the race is on YouTube, you can go and see, he got the jump of me because he knew when the guy was going to fire the gun. And he defended it by saying that he thought I was going to beat him. So he thought that was good enough for him to cheat. So it's a bit strange.
Mate, every time your name comes up in our coverage, Martin, people refer to that match race against Leota Ryan, which is now 32 years ago, by the way. And also, am I correct in remembering that in that Great Britain tour of 88 out here that you had a match race against John Ferguson and Dale Shearer?
Yes, I did, at a dog track. But see, no one ever talks about that race. No, you know, I've won so many races. I've beaten the European indoor 200 metre champion, a guy called Addy Maffey, in a race at Central Park back in the early 90s. Yeah. And all the races that I've ever won in my life, no one ever talks about them. The only race that people ever talk to about is a guy called Leota Ryan. If not for Leota Ryan beat me in that race, no one in England would know who he was.
No, that's right. That's incredible. That's incredible. So how did you come to be a Rooster in 89 and then a Dragon a couple of years later? And how different was that challenge for you?
I just wanted to get out to Sydney and, play in Sydney. And when I got the offer to go and play for the Roosters, from City Ford, you know, came and got me. Well, I had a great time. And I was all set to come back to the Roosters in 91. And I agreed the deal. And then all of a sudden, they pulled the rug from under me for some reason. I don't know. That being something to go and ask Eastern Suburbs about, because I never really understood the real reason why they took the contract away. And then, you know, I played at St. George for half the money that that East were offering me. But obviously, I had a beer in my bonnet the day that we played in my old club at the Sydney Football Stadium, scored a hat-trick. But then I went back in 93 to East, but only lasted one game. So,
yes, that's right.
You've got to be grateful in life. So, I'm happy for the time I had in Sydney. Loved playing in Sydney. Loved living in Bondi. Some great memories.
Our very special guest on ABC Sport today is Martin Offier, a.k.a. Chariots. We better get to the Kangaroos tour of 1994. Now, before that first test, you played for Wigan against Australia and the Kangaroos won it 30 points to 20. You did score a try, what shock horror. So did Jason Robinson. I mean, going through that team, Martin, that was a seriously great Wigan team. Gary Connolly, Henry Paul, Frano Bodica, Sean Edwards, Kelvin Skerritt, Dennis Betts, Andy Farrell, Phil Clark, the likes of Barry McDermott coming off the bench. What do you remember about that day at Central Park?
I just always know that I think it was one of the first times I ever played against Australia for a club team. So I don't think I played against Australia when I was at Widnes. And you always know whether you play Australia, whether you play them in England, you know, whether you play them in Australia, they're always up for it. I know that, you know, when the Australians come over here, you know, I was Canberra at Old Trafford in the World Club Challenge in 89. And then Canberra said that, you know, they were all on the drink.
Well, whatever excuse gets you through, I suppose.
Yeah, but, you know, it was a fantastic game, you know, at Central Park. We didn't win. And, you know, to win with basically 12 men for most of the game. You know, after Sean Edwards got sent off for a high tackle on Bradley Clyde, we thought I've never done more tackling in my life than I did in that game, and we managed to get over it. But you know, I've never lost 3-0 to Australia. I think I was like 30 seconds away from winning the Test series, and I think I was injured in Old Trafford. Ricky Stewart went down, my wing, and a guy called Carl Gibson. I said, took the dummy, and they went, and I was literally crying that day. And so after we won in the first Test, you know, we thought, you know, this is our chance with Ellery as our coach, you know, but it wasn't to be. There's lots of things that you don't achieve in your career, but as I say, finishing with 500 tries and a statue outside Wembley, I'll take that.
Well, there was a crowd of over 57,000 for that Test. You won it 8-4. Jonathan Davis he was good at playing out of fullback in that particular Test. He was a great player anyway and played out here in Australia as well. But you played so many big games at Wembley. As you mentioned, your statue's out the front of it. Tell us about the atmosphere and what made Wembley different.
It was just something about it. I mean, it was the tradition. I think people, even in Australia, you know, knew about it. Players came over, the likes of Brett Kenny, Pete Sterling, playing the Challenge Cup final because, you know, the tradition in Australia was that people stayed up, you know, late in the tonight to watch the Challenge Cup final. And I remember watching the Challenge Cup final when I was at boarding school as a young rugby union player. And I was watching Sean Edwards play in the 85 Challenge Cup final. I think Chicka Ferguson was playing for Wigan on the wing that day. And, you know, Brett Kenny was playing against Peter Sterling. I think Sean Edwards scored a try that day. And so it was just something big about, you know, playing at Wembley. You know, just had to get there. And I had 4 years trying to get there at Widnes. And I was the top try scorer in the whole competition for every single year that I was at Widnes. I was a British Lion. I'd won a World Club Challenge. You know, I'd won back-to-back First Division titles. I'd scored hat-tricks in the Championship deciding games. So many things, but I hadn't been to Wembley. And so when Maurice Lindsay paid £440,000 for me, which was
a world record, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Even today, you know, no one's going to pay that. No one's going to pay $500,000 transfer for a winger. And if they did, he'd have to be pretty good. So for Maurice to pay that money for me in 1992, there was a lot of pressure on my shoulders. And I went to Wembley in 92, and I won the Lance Todd. But, you know, I'd scored two tries and I'd saved one, but I didn't really have that iconic moment, that Joe Lydon or you know, Henderson Gill moment when they run the length of the pitch. So when I managed to achieve that in 94, me and Jonathan Davis always have a bit of banter when we see each other, because obviously we both scored tries at Wembley in 94. And I always say to him, "Chiffy, how's it feel to score the second best try ever at Wembley?" And he always says, "My try was against Australia, yours was only against Leeds." I said, "Yeah, well, who's got the statue?"
So you can fall back on that any time with anybody.
Oh, mate. I always say to people, I don't care what you say. You know, I don't care who you say is a better winger than me. But I tell you what, there's not many wingers who have played over 400 games and scored more tries than they've played in games. You know, when you think of people like Bevan and Boston, who I tried to reach, I'm only the third highest try scorer of all time. But, you know, I'm the highest scoring English player of all time, you know, and that'll do for me.
We're speaking to Martin off here, primarily about the 94 tour, but we're going off in all sorts of tangents, which I love. A few more and we'll let you go. Ellery Hanley, you mentioned, was Great Britain's coach in 94, and you played with this legendary player, and we saw some great years with him out here with Balmain and Western Suburbs. What were your first impressions of him as a coach after being such a great player?
I know it was a bit of a strange transition because me and Ellery are very close. We buddied up in my first tour in 88, and we both went to Sydney in 89. Obviously, he had that great season with Balmain when he kind of stayed out after the 88 tour. But then in 89, when I went to Eastern Suburbs, Ellery went to West. I think I scored with my first touch of the game against and beat his West team. So, you know, Ellery was someone I respected, you know, to have him as a coach in 94, it was a bit strange just because we were so close and we were mates. And then obviously once you have that coach player relationship, it was a bit strange then to step back and to be chastised and for him to, you know, talk to me in a coach player way. So that was a bit weird, but we got through it. Yeah, it kind of like, I wouldn't say ruined our friendship, but it kind of, it was a bit of a strain because, you know, once you have that closeness and you have that separation, you never really go back again. But Ellery is a person I've got so much respect for. You know, I don't care how many tries I've scored in my career. You know, he is the greatest English player to ever play the game.
You'd have to have a statue somewhere, wouldn't he?
Yeah, but he hasn't got one. It's about iconic moments. I always say to people this, right? Careers will be forgotten, but moments last forever. And if you can create iconic moments, and that's what I did, I created... I'll put my highlight reel on YouTube against anybody. You know, yes. Life is about creating iconic moments. You can become a great player, but if people can't remember moments, then you're going to be forgotten. And you're not going to be remembered by generations after generations after generations, because they're only going to remember moments. They don't know your career.
Do you still follow the NRL?
Oh, I love the NRL. Me and my son watch it. As I said, my son is just, he's in Italy at the moment. He's going to make his debut for England in the under-18 Six Nations. But yeah, we love watching the NRL. You know, love watching all the British players out there. You know, Dom Young, you know, John Bateman. And I'm a kid. You know, I've been on the Matty John show a few times. You know, done a few messages for players that I've played with over the years. So you love watching the Matty John show. Love watching the NRL. And, I was watching the Vegas game recently, and I thought they were absolutely amazing. And I couldn't believe how they scored so many points and, you know, smaller pitch.
Oh, no.
It was just going to be a bash fest, but it was such entertaining games.
Just finally, I'll ask you a question that I don't know the answer to. You've probably been asked it a million times. And forget match races, especially Parramatta wingers who cheated in 1992, as we discovered. Who was the fastest winger you ever marked? Who was someone that you would bow your head to and go, all right, you've got some speed?
It's kind of obviously Lee Odenwright. You know, he beat me in the race. So, you know, what can I say? But I always remind people, he may have beat me in the race, but which winger scored two tries in that game? People always get caught up about pace. But pace is a tool. It's like being big. It's all about scoring tries. It's not about. People always ask me to this day. They say, "Oh, how fast were you? You know, what was your? You know, because I think my fastest time of running the 100 was 10.8." But they always want. No one comes up to me and asks me how many tries I scored. They always ask me how far. You were really fast. You know, what was your 100 time? That's the thing that people want to know, which I always find it strange because. You know what I mean? Dwayne Chambers, you know, a sprinter in England, you know, came and played a couple of games with Casper over here. I said, he's the fastest rugby player ever to play the game, but he hasn't scored any drives, so it doesn't mean anything.
It's so true. Moments matter. Moments matter.
Yeah.
Martin Offia, a.k.a. Chariots. I mean, thank you for the entertainment as a player. I'm really grateful for your time here on ABC Rugby League this weekend. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope your son does well as he pursues his career in top flight rugby union. Thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure.